Thank you, Brother Alvin. And I do wish to welcome each one of you here tonight. And I do wish to wish every mother here a happy Mother's Day. This morning I was called upon by the East Local to deliver the Mother's Day sermon. And when I do that, it drains me. It drains me emotionally because I do get wound up in a Mother's Day sermon. So I'm not going to do that tonight, other than one thing. One of the things that I talked about this morning relates very closely to my sermon and talk tonight. When I'm in the Philippines, and I'm going to talk about mothers in the Philippines. When I'm in the Philippines and we're going to go to, say, a place like Punyalam. Punyalam is a place about an hour and a half's drive up into the mountains where we have to use a jeepney, ford a river two or three times, and then hike about a mile off the road back up into the top of the mountain. And there we find about a dozen or so huts made out of bamboo. The huts are about 8 foot square. And in these huts you will find a man, his wife, and anywhere up to 5 to 8 kids living in this little hut. And I told the folks at the East Local this morning that there you would find the ultimate in a mother's love. These mothers would gladly give me their babies if I could bring them back and offer them a life that they know they can in no wise have on top of that mountain. And they don't do it for money. They wouldn't do it for money. They would do it for the love of their children. And isn't that what Christ did for you and I? He did it. He died upon the cross for you and I because He loves us. Anyway, I'm going to combine, as our brother said, a sermon with a report on the Philippines. And while we're in the Philippines, we've been blessed. We've been blessed abundantly. We've seen the blessings of God all around us as we go into the Philippines. We were blessed even to be there in the first place. A lot of you have met our brother Prudencio Alameda and his wife when they were here for conference. Brother Alameda sent us a letter. And believe me, the apostles prayed mightily for quite a while before we even thought seriously about going to the Philippines. And I'll tell you why. The Philippines do not have a very good reputation. Not only is there physical danger for us there, but the people have not got the best reputation. Brother Prudencio himself, and one of the first times that I was there and was talking to him, told me, if you have 100 Filipinos here, you might find one or two good ones. The rest are out to get your money, to take advantage of your goodness. But we were blessed. We were blessed because God had decided that that's what He wanted. He had decided that the people of the Philippines needed an opportunity to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ in its fullness, to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ in its truthfulness. And so we were blessed. We were blessed. We are blessed there with a people that are ambitious, that know the gospel of Jesus Christ, but more importantly, they live that gospel of Jesus Christ. And they have a faith, brothers and sisters, a childlike faith that might be lacking in you and I. They believe what they read in the scriptures. And they were quick to believe and accept the Book of Mormon. And we thought that that would be our biggest hurdle. But now we have some that call it the Golden Book because of the truth that they find within it. So we have been very blessed when we go to the Philippines. We went there first in July 2001. Brother Jay Mosier and myself. And in that first trip, we baptized 36. What a little beginning. 36 core members of the Church of Christ in the Philippines. No ministry, but they had a zeal. They had a zeal. And the next time that Brother Jay and I went back, there were hundreds asking for baptism, asking to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Church of Christ. And we baptized a few more. Because at that time, Brother Jay and I were concerned. Because we had talked to Brother Prudencio and he'd say, there's only a couple of good Filipinos here. And so we were concerned. Why do they want to come in? And we did a lot of praying. And the answer we received, Brother Jay and I both, you have been called to give an opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ. You've been called to give an opportunity to those in the Philippines to hear Jesus Christ. We have over 2,000 members there now. On our last trip that Sister Carol and I was on, we baptized 145 just in the 21 days that we were there. Most of the places that we go in the Philippines are small. Small mountain villages. One of our first mountain villages was a place called Pigdalahan. Pigdalahan has no ministry. And yet today it's one of our largest missions there. And its leader is a little old 80-year-old man that can climb the mountains faster than I can, has more spry in his step than I do, has more enthusiasm and drive than you could believe. Pigdalahan probably has 85 adults, probably double that in children. And I think that probably every adult in Pigdalahan belongs to the Church of Christ. Every adult in Pigdalahan. And we find this in almost all of our small missions. We have 41 missions three locals scattered out throughout Mindanao, the second largest island in the Philippines. These people are dedicated. It is a long, hard drive for us to get from our church headquarters in Panabo City to Pigdalahan. And we have a jeepney. Today, I've said this before, and it hasn't changed one bit. Of the 2,000 and some members that we have in the Philippines, only one has a vehicle. Only one has a vehicle. So they either walk, or they ride a jeepney, or they ride a motor trike. And a motor trike is a motorcycle that has a converted type of a sidecar that will hold about four adults. And they use them as taxis. But these motorbikes that haul four people, I've counted 10 in. Pigdalahan is about a 2-hour drive by jeepney from Panabo City to Pigdalahan. And yet, a number of times when I've been there to Panabo City and held services in Panabo City, I look up and here comes the congregation of Pigdalahan. Or here comes the congregation of Panalam. Or here comes the congregation of Cabilao. Dedicated. And they come in. They come in. Maybe they have spent 30 pesos to ride a jeepney from Panalam to Panabo City. And when they get to Panabo City, they don't have the 30 pesos to get back home. But they come anyway. They're worried about getting back home later. But they don't want to miss an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't want to miss an opportunity to sit within a congregation and sing songs of praise. Dedication. Brothers and sisters, we need to be ashamed of ourselves. If the sun isn't shining, if it isn't raining, we might get in our car and drive to church, which might take us 10 minutes. Dedication. The people of the Philippines are so dedicated that they watch over us. They know that there is danger there for me, for my wife, for the other missionaries that go. Last time we go to Panalam, we're walking up the trail. And you really don't think about it until you look. And you stop and you look and you see that you're in the middle of the crowd. People are all around you, watching over you, making sure that you're safe, making sure that you're going to be able to get there without any problems. We've been blessed in the Philippines. We've been blessed in the Philippines with healings, marvelous healings, marvelous blessings. About a year and a half ago, one of our young sisters, probably 14, 15 years old, came to Brother Prudencio and said, "My stepfather is home dying. Can we pray for him? He's not a member of the church. He doesn't really believe in the Church of Christ, but he's dying. Can we pray for him?" So we went out to this hut in a place called Tugum City. And we found this man lying on a pallet in this hut. Could hardly breathe. Could hardly breathe. The doctor had said, "Go home. Prepare yourself. You're going to die." And he was administered to. We said our goodbyes. We left. We found out the next morning he got up. He went outside to take his bath, which he hadn't been outside for weeks. He got on his bicycle and rode up and down the street. Sister Carol and I was there a couple of months ago. They said, "Do you know Marissa's father-in-law? He's in the hospital. He needs administration." And we went to this hospital and went in and administered to Marissa's father-in-law again. Still living after a year and a half. This was on a Saturday. The next morning was Sunday. We were going to have services in Panabo City. I looked back in the corner, and there sat the father-in-law of Marissa. The very next day. Amazing healings that we have. Amazing. Outlived the doctor's timing by a long way. We don't know how much longer he has, but we do know that not only is Marissa a member of the Church of Christ, she joined because of Prudencio's daughters, the father-in-law, and the mother are members of the Church of Christ. Stepfather. Yes. Did I say father? Stepfather. Yes. There's another woman that I'd like to tell you about. If anyone is squeamish, maybe you'd want to leave. But I'm going to tell you like it is. In November, Brother Steve and I was in the Philippines. And we was at this local having services, and they told us, "We need to go to this lady's hut and administer to her." We went to her hut, and sitting out in front of the hut was this woman, older woman. I can't tell how old they are in the Philippines. A woman over there that I would say was 75 or 80 years old, I find is 40. But anyway, she looked old. She had a scarf, a large scarf over her head, covering her whole face. When we walked up to her, she said in English, "Please help me. I'm in terrible pain." And she took the scarf and made it back. Her right eye was bulged halfway out of her head. Red all the way around her. You couldn't even make out that it was an eye. You could just, that's where the eye was. And out of the center of this eye, as big around as your little finger, and about that long, was a mass hanging out of it. And it would jiggle around as she moved her head. She was administered to. She was administered to. And then Brother Prudencio said, we need to go inside the hut. Her husband is in there. He's blind. We went in and administered to the husband. I told the leader there at that mission, gave them some money, said, take her to the hospital. And we left. They took her to the hospital and they said to her, we can't do anything for you. You have cancer of the eye. Your days are numbered. The next day was Sunday. Brother Steve was scheduled to go to a place, one of our locals, called Compostela. Brother Steve went to Compostela. And he was up in front and he looked back, and in walked this lady with the biggest smile on her face. Did the eye look any better? Steve said no. But she had no pain. No pain whatsoever. And what did she ask for? Relieve me of my pain. Not only that, there were 20-some wanting baptism that day, and one of them was her blind husband, who had seen the power of God through administration and wanted to become part of the church that believed in the miracles of God. 2 months ago, when Carol and I were there, we went to Compostela. And lo and behold, here was this woman. The eye has receded. The infection has abated somewhat. I couldn't hardly recognize her as the same woman that I had seen just 2 months before. God is working miracles and giving blessings in the Philippines that are unmeasurable. And why is He doing it? God is showing His power and calling people to Him. And He's making it easy for me. And He's making it easy for Mike and any of the other missionaries that go there. Because they're waiting and wanting to become a part of this great work. I'm going to turn over in the Book of Mormon. Page 611. I'm going to read two verses in 2 Nephi, verse 53 and 54. And it came to pass that when the armies of Gideonihi saw this, they began to shout with a loud voice because of their joy, for they had supposed that the Nephites had fallen with fear because of the terror of their armies. But in this thing they were disappointed, For the Nephites did not fear them, but they did fear their God and did supplicate him for protection. God has protected us. God has protected his church. A lot of our churches, a lot of our missions are right in the middle of the Muslim hell lands. The island of Mindanao is divided north and south, the south part being Muslim, the north part being Christian. And we have so many missions in that southern part. And our people are being protected by that. We had a meeting scheduled. We had a meeting scheduled one time in that area at a place called Mount Carmel. And because of God's intervention, we didn't go. We didn't go. And at that very same time that we would have been there at Mount Carmel, the Muslim rebel army, the Abu Sayyaf, stopped a bus loaded with Christians, pulled them off and killed 12 right in front of Mount Carmel. We would have been there. We would have been there. God's protection. We are blessed. Psalm 60, verse 11. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Man can't help us. Man can't help us in his strength. The only strength that helps us in the Philippines is the strength of the Almighty. The only strength that helps us. We took a trip when Carol and I was over there this last time. Deep in the Muslim country. To a place called Lake Cebu. Lake Cebu is a natural lake that was formed in an extinct volcano. And we drove up the mountain and we got there to Lake Cebu. And waiting for us was 57 ready to be baptized. 57. The elders each took some. And we baptized them, confirmed them right on the lake shore. And then we were scheduled to go on up into the mountains above Lake Cebu to an obscure mission that we have up there. We couldn't take our van up there. Couldn't even take a jeepney up there. But lo and behold, they had a homemade vehicle. Homemade. It really scared my wife. We got in that vehicle and they slid the iron doors closed and locked them from the outside. And we thought, oh my goodness. And then do we pray for God's protection? Because up we went. No road. No road. We just went up. Going up isn't the bad. It's going down that's terrible. But God was with us. As a side issue, you probably read this when I wrote it in the CCEG in one of my reports from the Philippines. When we got up there, they said, we have some children that we need to bless. Well, there was three elders and myself. And I thought, how easy is this going to be? And Brother Prudencio, he gets there and he's Brother Prudencio, as you know, is an organizer. And so he's organizing everything. He says, you here, line up in front of Brother Roger Manal with your children. You here, line up in front of Brother Demetrio with your children to be blessed. You line up in front of me, and you line up in front of Apostle Fan to be have your children blessed. And there was 50 children. 50. So I had my line and I started blessing the children. And I blessed. And I blessed. And I blessed for an hour and a half. What has happened? Brother Prudencio said, as soon as I started, every line went to mine. I blessed 50 children that one day in an hour and a half. I about lost my voice. We was coming back from Lake Cebu. It was getting dark. And when you go to Lake Cebu, it's about a six-hour drive there and a six-hour drive back. And we try to do it in one day. It's not safe for us to be caught in Muslim territory after dark. So we don't stay down there. And we were coming back and my wife gave me this. I was sitting beside her in the van, the seat behind the driver, and she gave me the elbow. She says, the driver's going to sleep. Look at his eyes. And just about that time, he started passing a big truck, and he went to sleep. His head, he was gone. He was out. I hollered at him, and he come awake, and here comes the truck right at us. And he finally got back in line, but God's protection. God's protection and my wife's sharp eyes. There are problems in the Philippines. They have the same problems that you and I have. We had to give aid to our mission in Panalam. They live up on top of a mountain. They plant their corn and their vegetables on the side of a mountain. Bad things. Bad things. One, if it rains too much, it washes their stuff away. Two, because it's on the side of a mountain, it doesn't retain any moisture. So if it doesn't rain, it burns up. It happened to burn up. We didn't have enough rain. So we have a village there of 100 men, women, and children, all belonging to the Church of Christ, that we had to give aid to. We had to buy rice for. They have the same problems that you and I have. The first time that my wife went with us, this has been a year and a half ago. We visited this village I'm talking about, Panyalam. Panyalam sits and looks down over this beautiful valley. A big river runs through this valley. And this river runs right through Dole Banana Plantation. Well, we noticed when we got up there, all of the children had tumors all over their faces, all over their bodies. Every one of them had tumors. And they all came and wanted to be administered to for these tumors. And we did. They were administered to by either myself or Brother Prudencio or Brother Roger or Brother Demetrio. And we left a year and a half ago. When we were there this time, Carol and I went back to Phnom. And after we were there a while, Carol said to me, "Where are the children with the tumor?" There were no tumors anywhere. Gone. The children were clean. Is that blessings of God? Was that what I did, or what Brother Prudencio did, or what Brother Demetrio did? No. What Jesus Christ and His power did. Second Corinthians 13:1. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. There was a woman in a little town called Tubod. Brother Prudencio said, "We need to go visit this lady. She lives out here. She's a widow." We need to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ to her. And we went and we sat down and we started talking about the Church of Christ, about the gospel, about its power and its goodness. I talked a while. Brother Mike talked a little while. We spent maybe an hour, hour and a half there. We got up to leave. And the woman says, "I want to be baptized. I have heard the truth from two of the ministers of God." And I said, "Well, you probably need to study a little more. You probably need to understand a little more about the gospel of Christ before you decide to be baptized." And this woman is an old woman, widow woman. She says, "No, I've heard many ministers talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've heard many ministers tell me about the church." But she says, "I heard two tell the truth today. In the mouth of two or three." And we find this kind of thing all the time. They just believe. We had some classes. I think it was when Brother Jay was going with me. We were having some classes about the church. And they started asking some questions. Brother Jay and I would answer the questions. And we thought we were doing a good job. And lo and behold, the next day, they'd ask those same questions to us. Brother Jay would, or I, either one, would answer them. We thought, again, we were doing a good job. We were telling them we are giving the same answers, and yet they keep asking. You know what was lacking? What was lacking? We weren't reading it out of the scriptures. We were telling them. as soon as we turned to it in the scriptures and read it, it settled it. They believed it. If it is written, I believe. It's a learning process. It's a learning process for me. I was green. I was green. I was not a missionary. I had no idea what to do. But we learned together. But we learned under the hand of God. They have a childlike faith. And that's a great blessing. A childlike faith. We tell them, we read to them, we show them in the scriptures, and they believe. Whether we're talking about the Bible or whether we're talking about the Book of Mormon. You know, the blessings of God are all around us. They're with us every day. We might not be able to see them. We might not be able to recognize them. But they're there. And I feel blessed. I feel especially blessed by you. You who, through your love, through your prayers, through your donations, allow us to go and bring the gospel of Christ to the Philippines and others. The people there were very, very appreciative of the Bibles and the Book of Mormons that the Temple Lot local donated to them. They were appreciative. A lot of the older ones cannot read English, but anyone almost under 20 years of age can read English. So those Bibles and Book of Mormons were appreciated. And we have people that give us Sunday school supplies and they're appreciated. We have people that give us medical supplies to take. We have set up in our headquarters church at Panabo City a dispensary. We dispense aspirin, cough medicine, creams, antibacterial creams. And we have saved doctor's visits. And we have saved going to these so-called hospitals. When Brother Steve was over there with me, we were at our local in Cavilao. And the pastor there, Brother Manali, said, one of our members is in the hospital and we need to go see them and pray for them. So we stopped by there and seen them. And we went into the hospital. And we did. We administered to this lady. And as we got outside, Brother Steve looked at me and he said, Frank, if I get sick, leave me in the hotel. The hotel room is cleaner than the hospital. We don't want our people to go to the hospitals there. We don't want our people to go to the doctors there. So we take medical supplies. You know, we either myself or Mike or one of the other ones that are with me, one of us is carrying a duffel bag. And it may have $400 or $500 worth of medical supplies in it. Aspirin, cough medicine, and others. And the one who is carrying it has never been stopped by customs. Because if we were stopped by customs, they would confiscate it. Never have been stopped. No matter who it is. The other one might be. But the one who has that duffel has never been stopped. Is that a blessing of God? Absolutely. Absolutely. We have been blessed in the Philippines. And we do feel your blessings also. We pray that you will continue to give your support. But that support really should include your prayers. For your prayers are the power that protects us while we're there. Your prayers are the power that God hears to draw those souls in to Him over there. So continue, please, with your prayers. I'm going to close with a poem, and this is going back to Mother's Day. It's a Mother's Day poem. And it's entitled, A Prayer for Mother. Our Father in heaven, whose love is divine, thanks for the love of a mother like mine. In thy great mercy, look down from above and grant this dear mother the gift of your love. And all through the year, whatever betide her, assure her each day that you are beside her. And Father in heaven, show me the way to lighten her task and brighten her day. And bless her dear heart with insight to see that her love means more than the world to me. Thank you very much for your kind attention.
Thank you, Brother Rank. We're going to close tonight with hymn number 147. I'll make some announcements while you're looking for that hymn. Monday night is our study class at 7 p.m. Wednesday is prayer service at 7 p.m. This coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be the scripture theme camp at Knob Noster State Park in Warrensburg. Check in at Camp Shawnee is at 4 p.m. on Friday. Then on Sunday morning, a service. There will be a lunch and clean up and then check out. If you have questions, see Randy Sheldon, Mark Hill, Jesse Lawrence, or Dan Lawrence.
We got a sheet in the back.
All right. Sunday morning here, there will be a combined Sunday school and a morning service. There will be no fellowship luncheon. There will be no Spanish service. There will be no evening service here next Sunday, just the morning service. And in our bulletin this morning, it was noted that your pastor would be your speaker next Sunday, and actually that's going to change. Brother Trevor Ratt owes me one, so he's going to be here next Sunday, so he's going to be the speaker. But I will be here also. Let's turn now to hymn 147. And Uncle Nicholas, after we finish this hymn, would you come up and dismiss us in prayer? Please. 147.
bow. Our great and gracious Heavenly Father, we are grateful unto Thee for Thy great love. We are grateful unto Thee for the words that we have heard this evening that have cheered our hearts and made us realize that there are those who are hungering and thirsting to hear the gospel of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. And, O Heavenly Father, move upon our hearts that we may be more diligent in our service to Thee, and that we may give of our strength and of our means to see that the gospel of Thy Son is taken to the far corners of the earth, where there are those who are hungering, who are thirsting to hear the words of hope, the words of life. And, O Heavenly Father, wilt Thou go with us as we go from here to our places of abode? Go with us, direct us, and help us to keep our minds and our hearts upon the things that pertain to the welfare of Thy kingdom, and that we might let the light of Thy truth shine forth from us in our everyday walk and conversation among men, that they may see our good works and glorify Thy name. Go with us now, watch over and protect us, and bring us back again, we ask in the worthy name of Thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
That was wonderful. It's a marvelous work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Francis.
Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.